From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again is Art.
Well, once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. My guest is Gary North. The subject is Y2K. Gary North received his PhD from the University of California at Riverside in 1972, was a congressional research assistant to Congressman Ron Paul, a Republican slash libertarian, has authored 43 books published in the Wall Street Journal, National Review, American Spectator, The Freeman, newsletter editor of Revenant Review in 1974. The Year 2000 project began for him in November of 1996. He lives on 60 acres, has two natural gas wells, three power generators, and believes Western civilization could collapse in 2000 if the power grid goes down for over 60 days, and sees no reason why it won't. The predictions are as follows, and we'll talk about some of them. Banks will begin to have runs on them in about the second half of 1999 worldwide. No bank to survive to 2001. An all-cash economy in 2000. The Dow Jones average, January 3 of 2000, zero, because it'll be shut down. Demise of the IRS, April 15, 2000. No more government checks, no more credit cards, no more pension plans. Shut down of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Family payments. No more airline service. The FAA is not going to meet the deadline. We'll talk about that. No more Las Vegas, Reno, and Orlando tourism. Trains will cease operating in 2000. No more automobile production. That would be from the domino effect. No elections in 2000 because there won't be any computers. Martial law in our cities. Other than that, it'll be a fine day. Speaking of World Wide Web addresses, if you will go to my website, I talked to Keith Rowland, who is my webmaster, during the break, and I asked him about Gary's website. He said, of course, yes, the link is there now. And he said, you know, you better go read it, because he's got an awful lot of information to back up exactly what he's saying on his website. So if those of you who have me bookmarked, just go to my website, at www.artbell.com. Scroll down to the guest areas down at the bottom and click on Gary North's name, and you'll be right there. And there is information to back up what he's saying, and what he's saying is pretty serious. Here he is once again, Gary North. And Gary, here's somebody who takes you on, says, Art, Gary North is fear-mongering. All financial transactions are backed up on paper. There is not going to be a problem. What do you say to that?
How are you going to get the paper? You going to call your local stockbroker on his toll-free 800 number and get a perpetual busy signal until the phone shut down? How are you going to get the paper? You going to send it by mail? The U.S. mail is not compliant. Art, I'm a fearmonger. I've scared myself out of business. I know that there's no chance that I'm going to be in business in 18 months. None.
None?
I'm out of business because the U.S. postal system is not compliant now.
You're kidding.
Neither is UPS. They're not compliant. How are they going to deliver this stuff? You can get your piece of paper. What is the piece of paper to? It's a promise to do what? It's an IOU nothing. If General Motors, and this is true, this was verified. In fact, this came through Fortune just about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
General Motors has 100,000 suppliers of parts, equipment, and services.
I'm sure.
None has been registered as compliant.
None are fine.
Now, it's not just General Motors. It's Honda. It's Ford. It's Chrysler. Now, what value is a General Motors stock or promise to pay if General Motors suppliers cannot deliver General Motors the parts to make the cars? You're talking about a company that's a $150 billion company a year. Well, yeah, you can get your piece of paper with the pretty symbol that says, yes, you own a piece of this action, but what's the action?
It's a very good point. It's a very good point. I have no answer for it. Listen, you said specifically in here, no more Las Vegas, Reno, or Orlando tourism. Now, I'm just over the hill from Las Vegas. We depend for our livelihoods on tourism here. What do you mean by that?
Okay, let's give an analysis which actually was not originally mine. It's a friend of mine by the name of Anthony Easton, who is a professor out in California. And he began playing around with this project about for his class about 6 weeks ago, and he ran it by me, and I said, yep, can't argue with that one. It's the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. IBM, earlier this year, went to the FAA and said, gentlemen, the computer that you are using, the 40 of them, to route your 20 major routes,
right,
is not only non-compliant, gentlemen, there is no one left in this company who understands it.
You mean the original code?
The original computer which the FAA uses to route all flights. It is going down. IBM told them it is going down, to which the FAA said, we're going to study this for 90 more days. You may be wrong. Now, the FAA is then repeatedly identified by the General Accounting Office of Congress as not being compliant and not going to make it.
So what does that mean is going to happen?
It means that you're going to have to find some way other than computers to route 600-mile-an-hour jets that take off every minute. That's what it means.
Well, in other words, airplanes are going to stop flying on that day?
Easton's estimate is they'll probably, at best, have to cut back to what the flight patterns were probably in 1970 to 73.
Oh, brother.
Now, that would mean the bankruptcy of every airline, because they have bought these multiple billion-dollar devices called planes to fill them, to fly them, to take them off every 60 seconds. You won't have that. You can't have that. So then what's going to happen to airline tickets? They're going to go from 300 and 400 to 2,000. They're going to be business class only. You're not going to have this massive tourism because they will not be able to fly those planes in that kind of numbers. Then what happens to the banks that have loaned the airline industry hundreds of billions of dollars to buy these planes? And by the way, Art, it's not just us. Britain has the same problem with its computers. This is an international problem. Besides, Art, none of the planes is compliant. The average Boeing plane probably has 100 to 165 non-compliant systems in it. There is no compliant airport, Art. None. There's none in the United States that meets the qualifications. Even this new multi-billion one out of Denver, they've admitted they're not 2,000 compliant. Dallas isn't compliant, and neither is the Atlanta. Now, if you take out Dallas and Atlanta, you've taken out the American airline industry.
I know. Is there time? I mean, if they began today and just with a crash program to get it done, would they get it done? Or is it already, in many cases, not just with the airlines, but in so many of these areas, is it too late?
The general assessment is the United States is short programmers. The minimum I have seen the minimum estimate is 350,000. We are waiting Britain to get them. Howard Rubin says of Hunter College, he says it's between 500,000 and 700,000. Now, Art, you don't go out and recruit 700,000 COBOL and assembler programmers overnight. These guys are all 60 and 70 years old. Mm-hmm. Nobody speaks these languages anymore. There's something like 400 of them. You can't just throw money at this problem. You can raise the wages of those who are in the business, but you don't get 300,000 skilled COBOL and assembler programmers in the next 3 months, which is what you'd have to do, just because you throw money at it. They aren't there. They don't exist.
So you're saying, yes, it is too late.
It's too late.
All right. You go so far as to say there will be no elections in the year 2000.
That's my belief, yes. I don't see how you would run them. And besides, what would be the point? If the federal government cannot collect taxes because the banks are down, if the federal government cannot distribute money because Medicare and Medicaid are down, because the Social Security system didn't make it because it's not compliant, If you can't distribute the money and you can't collect the money, what's the point? The military won't be functioning.
You're covering so much. Can I be absolutely certain that if I were getting Social Security, my check after at the beginning of 2000, I would not get another check? Is that correct?
At present, Social Security is not compliant. They have worked on this since 1989. They haven't got it fixed.
My gosh.
The reason I got into this, 2 years ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and I happened to say, what do you think of the 2000 problem? And he says it's going to collapse the system. And I said, why do you say that? He said, because I was one of the original Medicaid programmers, and we programmed it knowing that it would go down in 2000. And I said, wait a minute, can't you fix your own code? He says, no. And the compilers we use to write it are gone, and the companies used to produce it are gone, and the guys on the team who worked on it are scattered, and they don't know where I am, and I don't know where they are. And he says, count on it. I guarantee you, Medicaid is going down. I programmed it.
All right, well, I know what compilers are. I used to write in BASIC and compile long ago, so I know what those are. And you're saying the compilers or the decompilers or both probably don't even exist anymore.
They don't exist. And the companies that made them are gone. This was 30 years ago.
You actually also say there will be a collapse of all national governments in 2000?
Yes. All national governments. If you can't collect the taxes and you can't pay the army, you don't have a government. The U.S. military has not even completed its inventory of systems. As of April 28th, General Accounting Office, 1 month ago, said the U.S. military, the Department of Defense, has not completed its inventory of systems, which is the first 1% of the job. They don't know how many computers they've got, except it's a, well, they know the number of computers. Yeah, 1.5 million computers, 28,000 systems. They are not, at this point, compliant with at least 8,000 mission-critical systems. They've admitted that. They won't communicate.
So the military stops.
The military stops.
You say there will be collapse of every Fortune 1000 company.
Yeah, I'm probably being optimistic there.
Optimistic.
It's because it's going to take the ones down in the 2 and the 5000 category too. As a Wall Street Journal, April 28th, made a report that said Howard Rubin's study already has said of the largest companies, the Fortune 100, two-thirds of them have yet to devise a plan, not begin working on it, Art. Two-thirds of the Fortune 100 companies have not devised a plan to begin working on it.
Well, give me an example of what will happen in a Fortune 500 company, for example. On that day, what is going to happen?
Let's say January 3, because that's when they come back to work from Monday.
Right.
Because January 1st on a Saturday. They will come back, assuming the banks are still open, and that's a huge, huge assumption.
Uh-huh.
They will come back on a Monday morning, and they will find, in many cases, probably most cases, either the computers literally are shut down and not functioning, in other words, will not boot up, or that the data that they're throwing out at you simply don't add up. Because they've moved into 1900. They don't think it's 2000 anymore. So the problem with the data then becomes, how can you trust any of the information coming out of these systems? And the answer is, you can't unless you hand check it. But you can't hand check it because you don't have paper and ink systems to hand check it. These companies will not be able to interchange data with non-compliant companies. Now, let's consider the banks. Let's go to the big ones. 13,000 banks in the United States, okay? Not one is compliant. No major money center.
First-time callers call area 702-727-1222.
Bank is compliant. Now, these banks exchange trillions of dollars a day, one with another. The wire systems that do the exchanging are not compliant. Now, how does a bank that gets compliant keep itself compliant if it has to interact with 12,999 other banks not knowing whether any of those other banks are compliant.
Answer
because
is
if you take their bad data into your system, you've messed your system up.
I understand.
It's a systemic problem.
Well, I think it was Britain's major who said that one day it's all going to come tumbling down, that overnight trillions of dollars are exchanged by computers and satellite, and one day there is going to be a problem, and it's all going to come tumbling down. Without that exchange of money, everything stops.
Yes, everything stops. It's the collapse of the division of labor. That's really what we're talking about. It's a collapse of the modern division of labor. That's the great threat to it. That is what we're looking at.
All right, here's what a lot of people are going to say. I'll save them the trouble and I'll say it myself. If what you're saying is true, or even partially true, Gary, my God, the networks, for example, ought to be all over this. If it's almost to the inevitable point, there ought to be major stories on every network about this, getting people ready, telling them the truth about what's just about just around the corner. And if, you know, if Dan Rather doesn't say it, it can't be true. So...
Well, I will say this. ABC had me on last Thursday and had Ed Yordan on and treated us, I think, fairly. Did not say we were nutcases, said we were extreme. That's pretty good. We are extreme, so that's okay. The point is, let's say you're a New York reporter.
Okay.
You got a pension plan. North says you won't have one in 18 months. You've got a career. I say you won't have one in 18 months. I say you're living in an incredibly dangerous place to live.
What about me, Gary? I'm a broadcaster. I'm uplinked on any number of satellites to accomplish what I do, and then downlinked to radio stations that then broadcast my show. What's going to happen to me?
Well, I hope you sell a lot of Beijins, because that's what it's going to take to receive the broadcasts. The difficulty that you and I have is that we both use the web, telecommunications, electricity, and we both have to be paid.
Well, I use not only electricity, but I use the I use Ku-band and C-band satellites. I use all kinds of, you know, it all runs through the center in New York and then on to New Jersey where it's uplinked. And is all of that going to go down?
Yes.
Great. So I'm out of business.
Put it this way, Art. I want someone to get out there in the industry to show me how it isn't going to get down. They are linked. They are not compliant. They are completely dependent on AT&T and MCI. Those companies are not compliant.
So
we know they're not compliant.
For example, in my case, if a satellite goes down, Gary, we communicate to the uplink point by telephone using, what are called Comrex lines or other types of phone lines, and those will be down. Those will be gone too, huh?
I don't. All right, let's. I can't go point to a link on my site of a guy from AT&T who says clearly it's going down. Sell your stock, quick. But what you can point to in case after case is that representatives of each of the companies say we're not compliant now and we're working on it.
All right. Hold on, Gary. We're at the bottom of the hour. Sometimes my own show scares the hell out of me. This is one of those nights. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is.
Now again, here's Art.
See how I always jump in, mess up my own announcer? Silly, huh? The following is from the Associated Press, Dateline Washington, Associated Press. Listen to this, I'll just read you part of it. Scattered bug bites are already being felt. For one, government is throwing out old but durable computer systems that work all right except for the Y2K problem. For another, several major Y2K tests have failed. In one case, a system, get this, that manages the military's vast inventory wrongly marked 90,000 items for deletion. The public faces a high risk that critical services could be severely disrupted. This is from the GAO in a report on federal agencies. Quote, financial transactions could be delayed, flights grounded, power lost, and national defense affected. End quote. That's the Associated Press, folks, not Gary North. My guest is Gary North, and he'll be right back.
From the Kingdom of Nye, Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
Once again, here is Gary North. So, Gary, you're not really the only one saying this. I just read from the Associated Press.
I think anyone who has watched this very carefully is now getting to the stage of, if not panic, to extreme concern, because so little has been done despite the warnings that have been going out for the last 3 to 4 years. Almost nothing is being done.
A lot of people want to know about, I'm going to ask about something very trivial by comparison, and that is personal computers. Are they basically okay? Is this a mainframe problem, or is are personal computers at risk?
All computers are at risk. All software must be tested. There are testing programs. You can download them free. I've got them listed on my site. You can go to it in the personal computer section. Go to that page, download any of them. No computer is fully compliant, except a Macintosh that uses only Macintosh software designed only for the Macintosh. Those are probably compliant. But one of the great problems is that you've got 300 million computers out there all interacting, mostly, for example, with spreadsheets in business, and the spreadsheets have been two-digit entries. Those spreadsheets will not be reliable after 2000. So all the data coming out of your highly developed spreadsheet program that's being fed into your mainframe or from your mainframe into your spreadsheet, all of those must be rechecked by hand. You can't trust any of them. That's your problem. And that's a huge problem. They can be fixed, but the cost of fixing them and to make certain that every one of those spreadsheets is accurate is simply astronomical.
If you were the Y2K czar and you could issue orders right now about what should be done, what would you order?
I'd tell them to subscribe to my newsletter immediately. But of course, your serious answer is my serious answer, I'd resign.
You'd resign.
Koskinen is the Y2K czar, and he's paid to go out and give mild-mannered speeches. He has said publicly, and I've got this on my site, he has said, I can't tell you really bad gloom and doom materials because it could create a panic. They know that. You can't get a straight answer out of anybody in authority. The only national figure, well-known national figure, who's really been pushing on this is Tony Blair of England.
Of England.
He is the only national figure who has really said, gentlemen, we have got to get this thing fixed. And he pushed and pushed at last week's G8 meeting to get some kind of a statement out of the other seven. And what came out was cornmeal mush.
All right, here's what I've heard. I've heard that we are probably, as far behind as we are and as doomed as we are in this problem, we are way ahead of a lot of the rest of the world. And so my question would be, if we generally get compliant, which you say we can't, but let's say we did, and the rest of the world didn't, What would happen?
Well, you know what would happen. It's an international economy. We have 13,000 banks compliant. We have none. But say you get them all compliant. You've got probably 100,000 banks internationally that you're exchanging data with, and those banks go down. 80% of the code, or at least 78% estimate, Capers-Jones estimate, that 78% of the code in the world is outside the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And they're not spending any money. What do you think Asia is spending? You think Indonesia's rolling up its sleeves to get this problem at this point?
No, of
course not. Or Japan?
Of course not.
No, they're not doing anything. And yet, it's an international economy, international banking system. That's why I've done a little report on this thing that people can get for nothing. I can only do it because it's web-based. And so when I said, what am I going to call this thing? I said, I'm going to call it Collapse. So it's collapse@trapped.com. If you want my, 10-page analysis of why I think it's collapsing, you just write an email to it and get it. You get it back in 30 seconds. But the point is, I don't see, with the interdependence of all of us on all the rest of us, all hinged to money, all hinged to telephones, and all hinged to electrical powers. And yet the computers have threatened the banks, the computer has truly threatened the telecommunication system, and it's threatened the generation and distribution of power.
We had a very simple little taste the other day when Galaxy 4 satellite began to spin out of control, and I guess it's gone for good and they're replacing it. But when it went, in my little town, I'll tell you something, the ATMs all stopped working. When you went to the supermarket and tried to put your card in to pay for the groceries, that wasn't working. When you tried to pay for something with a credit card, they couldn't use their little machines to validate that your card was okay. All of that went down when Galaxy 4 went down. And that's just a little nothing compared to what we're talking about in 2000.
There was that great scene, and it was a great scene, in the Trigger Effect, where the guy was in the supermarket, and you hear this voice, and it was kind of fake because there wouldn't be any announcement system, but you heard the voice, and the voice said, "Our computers are down. We cannot take credit cards. We cannot take checks. Cash only. Small bills, please." Whoever wrote that script understood. He understood.
Potentially there could be no phone service, potentially, or even probably, there could be no power for periods of time, or at least brownouts or blackouts. And what do you mean by no water, no sewers?
Let's give a real-world example. This actually happened. Horror story. Bad one. During the ice storms last January and early February in Montreal, the water treatment facility could not get power from Quebec Power because Quebec Power had shut down. They had power generation and enough fuel to run for another 6 hours to keep the water treatment facility open. So they went to the mayor, and they told the mayor, "We've got to tell the public that 6 hours from now, if we don't get Quebec Power to restore power to us, we're going to start spewing untreated water into the system."
Oh, my God.
The fire marshal said to the mayor, "Don't you tell them that, because if they do that, they'll fill their bathtubs with water, and if there's a fire, I will not be able to guarantee being able to put that fire out." And the poor mayor had to make a decision between the two bureaucrats. He sided with the fire marshal. Now, they were very fortunate because within that six-hour period, Quebec Power did restore power operation, but they came within 6 hours of poisoning the public.
All right. Well, here's a very important question, I think. As we really get close to this date, the FAA, all of the various banks, all of these, the power grid, power companies, we could go on and on and on. They're going to begin to certainly know what may be about to happen. So in some cases, there will be preemptive shutdowns or brownouts, won't there? What will begin to happen just before that critical date?
Well, I think you will begin to get brownouts. You will begin to get crisis runs. people will begin to try to get extra water or whatever it is they think that they need. Stuff. There'll be a run on stuff. They're going to charge it, if they can, to their credit cards.
Yep.
You're going to see the supply of stuff disappear. Art, the reason why we have such an incredibly productive economy, why there's been this extraordinary output of goods and services for the past 25 years, is because there are no more inventories. When Sam Walton made real-time computer transactions the basis of Walmart, he cut probably 20% out of the marketing expenses, and everybody had to imitate him. Nobody's got any inventories anymore. And when you don't have inventories, it means that when there is a rush to get whatever it is, you can't get it. Now, let me give you an example.
Okay.
The Mormons have pretty much dominated the field of stored food. I began recommending to my clients about a year ago that they begin to buy up a year's supply of food for the families.
Right.
And I said, because I'd gone to the largest of the wholesalers in the Mormon stored food business, and I asked them, I said, Steve, let me ask you straight. If 10% of the members of the Mormon church decided that Y2K was a reason to do what the church says it ought to do, could you meet the demand? He said, not a chance.
Really?
They are now, in some cases, backed up 8 months.
I know that we had a food supplier that sold bulk foods, a year's supply of food, on my program, and they were about 6 months ago beginning to get backed up in orders by about a half a year.
Yes.
And you think it's people that see this coming?
Yes. I have been told specifically by guys in the industry that Y2K is the driving force right now of those people making the year's supply orders.
All right, here's another question that people are going to obviously ask. They're going to say, all right, I guess I believe. What do I do? What do they do?
Well, I really have tried to deal with this in that report of mine. And if they've got an email, just send an email to collapse@trapped.com, and they'll get it back.
What an address.
Let's go to the basics.
All right, so I've also got to cover this before you do,
sure.
And that is not everybody obviously has a computer, strange as that may seem to you and I.
All right.
What about an address or something?
Art, you'll swamp me. You got the greatest true believers in the business out there, and I'm doing this thing for free. I can't really do it. So let's quickly go through some basics.
All right.
No joke, and I'm not paid to say this, you do buy a beige hen. You need communications, and that's a very good way to get it.
Sure.
The next thing you do, I tell people, go out and get that year's supply of food. But when you call the company, you tell them, gentlemen, I want a deadline date. I'm not paying for this unless I can get in writing that I can get this food by a deadline date. So what's the date? They've got to be told. You've got to have that. Now, the next thing you need, in my opinion, it's a strong feeling of mine, I think you need to build with your church or your other community service organization some sense of what's going to happen, because neighborhood is crucial, and the groups around you who cooperate with you can make you or break you in a crisis.
Sure.
I'm completely convinced of that. So
sure.
You need neighbors, you need friends, you need other people to share this with, because this is a real tough burden. I'd like to believe the churches were taking a strong hand in this, but they're not. I wish they were. The next thing I think you need is some amount of cash. I think you need, like they said in that wonderful scene, cash only, small bills, please.
But would even that last? In other words, would paper money continue to be of value if it really got bad?
I think it would, because the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is stretched out to 24-hour-a-day just to do replacement of paper money. In a crisis, they couldn't continue to operate. They'll shut the Bureau of Engraving and Printing down, or at least they can't increase it any more than they're operating right now.
Good Lord.
So, you will have a fixed supply of paper money. Under those conditions, I think paper money probably will be at least better than electronic money, because there's no guarantee with electronic money. Now, should you have some gold and silver coins? Yes, I think you should. I think that's a basic investment that people should have. But I think some cash is a good idea at this point, because what are you giving up, 3% per annum? That's not much to give up.
No, that's true. God, I'm sure you have stopped several times before you would deliver this kind of a message to a national audience, and you've said to yourself, am I really sure of what I'm saying? Are you?
To the extent that I completely disrupted my own life. I sold a beautiful house that my beautiful wife was very sad to get rid of. I sold it at a loss to get out and get it fast enough. I'm living in an area where I don't have my house built yet that I want, and she is unhappy, and we have been disrupted for months. I have left what I thought was a relatively safe area to go to an even safer area. Now, I would not do this personally if I just thought that this was a possibility rather than a probability.
Mm-hmm.
So in my own personal planning, I'm telling people that I'm doing it, and I think they ought to do it. Did I buy a year's supply of food? No, I bought a 2 years' supply of food.
Possibility, probability, or certainty?
Certainty is, and I mean certainty, expect at least a 1974 level recession.
My God.
Edgar Denny's right. That's what you have to say is the minimal possibility. But I don't see any compliant system. Now, we've never seen this before, Art. We have never been in a situation where you could date a crisis.
What about this possibility? I'm getting several faxes that say things like, well, why not just put another date into these computers while you work on the problem? How about that?
That is one of the strategies that some outfits have said they're using. But usually when you have to interconnect the data. Let me give you an example. The Internal Revenue Service has already announced that they will only accept four-digit century. That's an IRS requirement. Of course, they're not compliant, but that's what they have required others to have. There is no standard. There's no agreed upon way even to whether the century comes at the beginning or the end. These computers have to talk with each other. Joe can fix the computer one way, Fred can fix it another way, and Sam can fix it a third, and Taruro Yamamoto can fix it a fourth
That's
way.
For sure.
But they've got to talk with each other, they've got to agree, and each of the computers has to interact with each other, and they can't get them to interact with each other.
So what we do is almost academic if not everybody else does it as well.
That's the problem. It's the interoperability. That's the technical phrase. It's the problem of interoperability.
What about national security? In other words, you've already said, and I read something from the APL in the military, deleting items like crazy. What about real defense systems like ICBMs? Now, you may not have knowledge in this area, but our big defense ring of nuclear long shots. So what about those?
They're tied to the global positioning system, which is going down on August 22nd of 1999.
What?
All of the positioning software was designed to collapse on August 22nd of 99. So how do you know where you are and how do you know what time it is? The systems that depend on the global positioning satellite system of the 24 U.S. satellites, all of those systems must be completely reprogrammed in order to compensate for the loss of 1,024 weeks that will take place on August 22nd of 99.
Good Lord, that includes aircraft and ships and all the navigational systems?
Yes, that's what it includes, and they have got to get it fixed. And people claim, well, they think they've got it fixed, but the Navy has posted over a year and a half ago a warning saying, we are not responsible if you get lost, because they've said, we will lose the 1,024 weeks. Now, that happens even before 2000. So again, you've got your problem of redesigning all of this software so fast, and then deploying it and testing it, that we have simply run out of time.
All right, we've run out of time. When do you think our government, forget all the rest of them, but our government will be forced to begin making public statements about what's coming, or will they not do it?
Middle of next year.
Middle of next year.
When the bank runs begin, they're going to have to take action. They will have to begin to confront the reality that the computer systems that the government has will not be compliant. So what you're going to get is a tax revolt that will begin next year. As soon as the general public figures out that the IRS is not going to be able to find them, or as the head of the IRS said a month ago, if we don't get it fixed, the public won't get its refunds. He said that. Rosati said that in front of Congress.
Scaring the hell out of me, Gary. All right, look, we're at the top of the hour. What I want to do is allow the public, skeptical public, to ask some hard questions. Can we
do
that?
Yeah, let's
do it. All right. Coming up then after the break, you've got a good long one. Hang in there. Gary North is my guest, and the subject is Y2K. If you have questions, that's what we'll be up to when we get back. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.